Amos 5:21 to 24. I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. In Matthew 7:21 to 23, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you.
Looking forward, looking back, I've come a long way down the track. Got a long way left to go, making songs from what I know, making sense of what I've seen. All the love we've had between you and I along the track, looking forward, looking back.
That's part of the video from Slim's album, Looking Forward, Looking Back. Slim was born David Gordon Kilpatrick in 1927. And he died with kidney cancer in 2003. At 11 years of age, he decided that he would rename himself Slim Dusty. And at 15 years of age, he had his first two recordings released, and he paid for those himself. Looking Forward, Looking Back was his 100th album, and it was actually, the song was written by Don Walker, who wrote songs for many people, including Cold Chisel. But Slim's, the rest of the video, which we didn't play on purpose, shows you him reminiscing of where he had been and where he was. With his 100th album, he was looking back, but he was also looking forward. He didn't say, now that I've reached 100 albums, it's time to quit. He had, from an early age, a calling, a vocation, whatever you want to call it, a desire to sing music to the people. And he followed that all the days of his life. I'm sure he went through hardships at different times, but he came to that place with the 100th album. He didn't say, well, that's enough. I've done enough now. I can rest. The vision that he had from the beginning still continued, and he continued performing up until ill health stopped him. He had the vision. And I won't say that it was a godly vision. I won't say that it wasn't. I don't know where his position with God was. But he had a vision, and he allowed nothing to interfere with it. And he kept going to the day he died, fulfilling the vision he had. So are you looking back at your past, or are you looking forward to what is to come? But before we go any further, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love, grace, and mercy that allows us to come into your kingdom. It allows us to receive your love on a personal relationship. And I ask, Lord, that the words that I speak this day would be the words you want spoken. And Lord, that we would apply them to our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. I've heard over the years several men appealing to the vanity of their wives by declaring publicly how much they loved their wives. And Margaret and I used to think, if that was true, how sad that situation was. Because it meant that at the best, their relationships had never progressed, and at worst, they had deteriorated. And most of these men did the works that were required of them to show their outward expressions of love. They remembered birthdays, anniversaries, Mother's Day, Easter, Christmas Day. They did the works that would show how much people were, they loved the other person. But how often are wives and mothers given new appliances or gadgets that will help make their serving their husbands and children easier? Instead of the husbands or children assisting their wives on a daily basis and make their life easier. Just like the wives and mothers do every day, not just on the days when they give special gifts on special occasions. It is easier to justify how much we love someone by focusing on individual actions or events instead of focusing on them and their needs and desires. We tend to focus on what we have done and not on what we should be doing. A few weeks back, sometime last year, Dave preached on the languages of love. But what he didn't say was that you can learn a different language. It may be difficult, but you can learn it to the degree that it becomes second nature to you. And the question is, do we want to learn a love language to increase our love relationships with those that we love? Or do we want to put in the time and effort to increase our love language with God? Now, this isn't a marriage counseling session, but it is an earthly example of how we often treat God in our love relationship. We decide on how and what occasions we will show our love for God. There are many so-called Christians, including born-again Christians, that come to church on Christmas and Easter and decide that that's what pleases God. There are many others that come to the regular Sunday services and think that that's what pleases God. And then there are others that do whatever they like and think that that pleases God. But what does God say? From Samuel, speaking to King Saul after Saul had decided how he would please God, God had told him to kill everything, including all the livestock, but he brought it back as a sacrifice. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. But Samuel replied, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." Saul decided how he would please God, regardless of God, what God had said. And in Amos chapter 5, verses 21 to 24, I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Saul, as an individual, had decided how he would please God instead of how God had told him. And as a nation, Israel, under Jeroboam II, had been having victories against their enemies, and they were living in a period of prosperity. And they thought that God was blessing them because of their sacrifices and offerings, because of the way they chose to praise God. But Amos was given a word from God to tell him that that wasn't the case, that what they were doing when they come together was not acceptable to God. And from the New Testament, Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Doing the works is not what God wants. He wants us to do the works, but he wants us to do the works because we desire to please him because of his love for us. He has shown his love for us by sending his son to die. And he wants us to show our love for him by being obedient to him. I have met many Christians who can tell you the time, date, and place that they gave their hearts to the Lord or were baptized. They keep referring back to this time because of the emotional experience they had at the time. And they confuse that emotional experience with love. We have been given an emotion we call love, but love is not an emotion. Love is a decision. Our love should not depend on how we feel, but our reaction should be a result of our decision to love. In Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 10, God demonstrates his own love for us while we were sinners, while we're still sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through death of his son on the cross, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? God chooses to love us even when we were ignoring or in rebellion to him. And his love is an everlasting love. It's not restricted to special occasions. He is always there to help, to guide, and to encourage us to be the best that we can be. And he alone knows what that is. He wants us to love others as he loves us. Do we love as he does? Are our actions motivated by our love for God and shown by our love for each other and the lost? Are our love relationships with God and others increasing? Looking forward and looking back. It's not wrong to look back to the past, but it is wrong to attempt to live in the past. So often our views of the past, good or bad, are distorted, and they can affect our present and our future. God used Moses to deliver the Hebrew people out of slavery in Egypt. And among other things at that time, they were required to put to death all the newborn males. But they weren't out of slavery for long before they were remembering how good it was back in Egypt. They wanted to go back there. They compared their perceived past circumstances with their perceived present circumstances and wanted to return to the past. All the current problems and hardships had been caused by someone else. Mostly they blamed Moses, the man of God, for the trouble they were in, not what they were doing wrong. They ignored the covenant agreement they made with God when they ignored the covenant agreement they made with God, the God that loved them, and they either ignored or took for granted all the things that God had done for them and was doing for them. They never returned to their past. They continued to go round and round in circles, and they never received the promises and the blessings that God had promised them when they entered their love relationship with God. So, in your life, are you looking back or are you looking forward? Are you allowing real or perceived past or present circumstances to steal the blessings for your future in your relationship with others and, more importantly, in your relationship with God? Are you doing what God wants you to do now, or are you missing out on his blessings because you're trying to live in the past? Too many churches and individual Christians try to live in the past, and they're not content to be living where God has placed them now. Their discontent is often displayed by their words or actions. Some decide to criticize or complain instead of complimenting or bringing correction. Some want what pleases them instead of what pleases God. Some compare things from the past with their present. Some don't like the music. And some don't like the way people dress. Some don't like the pastor. Some don't like the message. Some go from church to church, seeking for what they want, and end up going nowhere, both spiritually and physically. There are also many others who do desire to please God, but they still try to do it on past experiences. Many churches continue with activities that saw growth in the past, but is seeing no growth now. And a new pastor comes, and he wants to implement activities that saw growth in his church or previous churches. But neither of them look to God to see what God wants to do here and now and into the future. They're looking for their past successes and for God to bless them today. If we look at the histories of revivals, most of them have started off differently. The only thing that never changed with any revival is how people got saved. And that was by hearing the gospel. The good news that Jesus came and died on the cross and paid the price for our sins. And there are many churches that see growth without true salvations because they cater to the wants of the people instead of the will of God. So how can we know what God has planned for us? Just like in all relationships, by communicating with Him and doing what pleases Him. Who are you more likely to share your thoughts with? Someone who is ignoring you, angry with you, or criticizing you? Or someone who wants to please you and wants to know more about you? Do you think that God is any different in this regard? If you're having problems with your previous pastor, with your present pastor, or if you prefer your previous pastor and have with your present pastor, then ask God to help you have an even better relationship with your current pastor than you had with your previous pastor. If you don't like the music that's been played currently, then thank God for the previous music that you had that you can use in your own private praise and worship of God. And if you don't like the way other people dress, look, or act, then ask God to help you to focus more on your purpose for coming to church. And hopefully, that is to bring praise and worship to God. And if there's any other activity that you don't like, then ask God to help you to die to self, that we might bring glory and honor to God in all that we do. Looking back and looking forward. Moses told the people always to remember what God had done for them in the past, and he also told them why it was important to remember. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 17 to 25, be sure to keep the commandments of the Lord your God and the stipulations and decrees he has given you. Do what is right and good in the Lord's sight so that it may go well with you and you may go in and take over the good land that the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Thrusting out all your enemies before you, as the Lord said. In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you, tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God so that we might always prosper and be kept alive as the case is today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God as he has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. And of course we know the only one that could keep all that law was Jesus. But they were to try and keep it. They were to remember God's commands and instructions so that they could prosper in the future as well as they were doing in the present at that time. And Gideon obviously had been taught what God had done in the past, because when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, that was what he brought up to him. Judges chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. Gideon knew what had happened in the past, and here he was blaming God for the situation today. God had abandoned him. God had not abandoned his people had abandoned God. And what was Gideon's response when the angel basically told him, never mind the past, God is calling you today for what he wants you to do tomorrow. Judges 6, 14 and 15. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. God had told him to go in the strength that he already had. He didn't tell him that he would train him up and equip him. He had already prepared him for what he wanted him to do. God has already prepared each and every one of us by giving us the Holy Spirit to do what he wants us to do. But like Gideon, he offered up reasons or excuses why he wasn't suitable to do what God called him to do. Even though he doubted his ability, he decided to put his trust in God's faithfulness by doing what God had told him to do. He had been taught how God was faithful in the past, how God was always faithful. So he decided that even though he thought he couldn't do it, he would trust God and obey God. How often are we like Gideon? How often do we look back to the past and what we have seen God do through us or others, but make excuses as to why we can't do what God wants us to do today? Don't look back at the past and what you could or couldn't do, or how God had used you before. Instead, ask him what he wants you to do today and into the future. And don't just sit around doing nothing while you wait for God to give you a specific answer. He has already told us what to do as individuals: to preach the gospel, to love as Jesus did, to edify and encourage one another, to serve one another, to give honor to those who guide and teach us, and to obey those in authority. And I may be wrong, but the only one in the Bible that I can recall that was doing nothing when he was called was Nathanael. He was sitting under a tree. And if we want to be technical, God didn't really speak to him. It was Philip came and told him about the Messiah. Come and see the Messiah. And he did. We too are called to tell people to come and meet Jesus. Don't let the devil or his representatives steal your blessings by trying to get you to focus on past successes, hurts, or failures. Don't let him discourage you from what God has planned for you today and tomorrow. Instead, focus on God's word, on how God used people that others thought unworthy or had failed them in the past. The Apostle Peter often did or said the wrong thing, but he never gave up trying to please Jesus. And all Paul's past and present persecutions of the church didn't stop him doing from what God had called him to do. And David would never have killed Goliath if he had listened to his brother's criticism. You're only here because you're full of pride. All you can do is look after sheep, and you're not too good at doing that either. And speaking of criticism, never allow other people's criticisms of you to think that you're not worthy. Always remember that Jesus thought you were worth dying for on the cross. Now, this doesn't mean that we ignore advice or correction from others. And my last looking back and looking forward is about Paul. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 14. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. Paul had thought that by his works, he judged himself by his works, and he was faultless. And we know that he couldn't have been. But it was all nothing when he came to have a relationship with Jesus. The relationship with Jesus overrode everything else. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his suffering, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul recalls his past, but he's still looking to the future. Like Paul, we should not live in the past. We should use it as a reminder of where we were and as a gauge as to where we should be. We shouldn't compare what we were like, or we should compare what we were like before we were saved with what we were like today. But we shouldn't compare ourselves with each other. We should be comparing ourselves with Christ. How much Christ-like we have become from the day we were saved. How much Christ-like we have become since yesterday. And I know that we will never be like Christ, but we can become more and more like him every day. Let us strive to become more like Jesus and be able to say, like Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was facing his biggest trial, and we see it in Mark chapter 14, verse 36. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. He communicated with his Father. He recognized that with God, everything was possible. But what was most important to him was not his suffering or his situation, but that the will of God would be done in his life. That should be our attitude the more we become like Christ. So let us ask the Holy Spirit to assist us in our desire to be faithful to God in every area of our lives, so that we know when we bring our songs and praise of worship to God, that they will be an acceptable savour to him, a worship that he finds pleasing. Let our prayer be like Isaiah's cry, and let it come from our hearts and not just our mouths. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for that love that allows us to be wrong, and yet you still love us. I thank you for your Holy Spirit you sent to give us guidance and correction. And I ask, Lord, for a greater infilling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would be bolder and more dedicated to doing your will, your way, and bringing glory and honor to you in every area of our lives. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.